eagle has landed.
You are about to embark upon the great crusade.
Ask not what your country can do for you.
I consider myself the luckiest man.
I have a dream today.
That the only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
Hello, welcome to Speaking of History, the podcast that has a focus on education, technology, and history. My name is Eric Langhorst. I'm an 8th grade American history teacher from Liberty, Missouri. You're listening to podcast episode number 104, being recorded on July 6th, 2007. Well, today is Friday, and I'm at the Gettysburg College location campus for the Gilder Lehrman Institute on Lincoln. And we've been studying quite a bit about Lincoln and how different ideas have shaped his presidency and some of the things that he did as a politician. We had some great lectures on day three of the week. A lot of things talking about some of the foundations from when he was back in New Salem, some of the things growing up, some of the things that he established when he was a lawyer in Springfield, and how some of those decisions really affected his presidency and some of the major decisions like the Emancipation Proclamation, and things like that. So a lot of interesting lectures we've been listening to. And then another thing that we're doing as we're here is everybody that's present, we have about 30 teachers or so, everybody has picked at least two different primary source documents that relate to Lincoln. And we write a little form up kind of talking about description of the document, the source of the document, give a little bit of background information, and then we formulate some discussion questions so that if a teacher wanted to kind of go through a database of different resources about Lincoln, they could kind of pull some of those out for all different grade levels. I wrote some for the 8th grade students. We have some, some people that are doing AP classes that did a little bit more involved type things. So the two documents that I selected, one is a telegraph that Lincoln actually sent to New York when his wife Mary Todd Lincoln was in New York with Tad. And it's kind of a humorous one because it talks about Lincoln is telling Mary Todd that he did wire the money that she asked for, and that that she should tell Tad that the goats are doing well. Tad was concerned that the goats might not be eating enough and things like that back at the White House, and so Abraham Lincoln, you know, in this telegraph said, tell Tad that the goats are doing well and Dad's doing well. So kind of an interesting personal look at how Lincoln used the telegraph. And ever since I read the book, Mr. Lincoln's Tea Mails, I've been really interested in his use of the telegraph. So that's one document that I selected. The second one is an editorial cartoon that shows the four different people that are running in the election, the presidential election of 1860. And it uses baseball as kind of the metaphor. And Abe has a bat that's basically a split rail. And each of the different candidates are saying different things that have a connection to baseball and the 1860 election. So I thought that might be kind of interesting when we do our editorial cartoons about Lincoln to kind of show that one that ties in baseball. It'd be a good connection for my 8th graders. So everybody's creating these documents. We're going to be able to walk away with a bound copy of the different ideas that everybody here had, but then eventually those will also be available through the Gilder Lehrman database. And I'll include a website link probably on the recap of the entire workshop, but there's tons and tons of different document resources like that that have been created at different Gilder Lehrman institutes throughout the years. So I'll definitely put a link to that probably on the wrap-up show for the workshop. Okay, yesterday on Thursday, day four of the institute, we had another lecture from a Professor Gelzo about Lincoln and the Emancipation Proclamation and some of the ways that his ideas became formulated in the Emancipation Proclamation. And then also at lunch, we were able to meet Gabor Barrett. He's the gentleman that wrote, who has written several books on Lincoln. The one that I really liked that I read this last year was the Gettysburg Gospel, a very in-depth look at the Gettysburg address, both from a physical standpoint of how it happened over those days, but then also how it really became the primary thing that Lincoln is associated with today. And, you know, back then at that time, it really was seen as almost like just a footnote. So that was an interesting opportunity to meet somebody that I really admire and get to say hi and different things like that. So that was a great thing at lunch. And then in the afternoon yesterday, we toured Evergreen Cemetery and Gettysburg Cemetery. Evergreen Cemetery is actually the cemetery that was there at the day of the battle. It was actually a cemetery, or had been a cemetery, for about 10 years before that, and had a really unique opportunity to actually tour the gatehouse. If you've seen pictures of the battlefield at Gettysburg, you've probably seen the gatehouse, a big brick structure that has kind of an arch in the middle and is kind of just like the opening gates to the cemetery. The person that lives in the gatehouse actually gave the Gilder Learman and Civil War Institute people access where we could actually go inside and tour the building. And he actually lives inside the gatehouse today. It's a private residence. And so that was really special, because not many people get to actually do that on the grounds at Gettysburg. So we're able to see the inside of the gatehouse. They also have some very interesting markers there in the Evergreen Cemetery, which is the private cemetery. There was one tombstone that actually got cut off on the top from a cannon that was fired during the battle, and you can actually see that tombstone. I'll try and include that in one of the pictures with the blog. They also talked about a new monument that's there. The lady that was the caretaker of the cemetery while her husband was away and the battle broke out, she had to help dig about 90 or so graves for some of the preliminary people that were killed in the Battle of Gettysburg. And she happened to be pregnant at the time. And so there's this amazing statue, and again, I'll include a picture on the blog, but it shows her digging, kind of like taking a break after digging the graves of these, digging the graves for these soldiers that were at the Battle of Gettysburg. So that was also a very interesting statue that was out there at the cemetery. And then also it was interesting, there's a lot of debate about exactly where Lincoln gave the Gettysburg Address. And the curator of the cemetery had one opinion, which is probably, from what I've heard, the best opinion about where it was located based on photographs, but also kind of the lay of the land, what tombstones would have been there at the time. But it's just kind of interesting to me that you have this very famous speech that, you know, tens of thousands of people attended, and for years and years and years, you could have asked thousands of people to say, hey, where was the speaker stand? And they could have came out to the cemetery and, you know, put their hand down or put a flag down and say, well, this is exactly where the speaker stand was. And, you know, nobody did that. And so today in 2007, it's still a topic that's debated. So a kind of an interesting reflection on how it is really important to record history and record things so that future generations can benefit from what's happening in the present, and that we can pass that information on. We also were able to go down to the train station that Lincoln came in on when he gave the Gettysburg Address. Has just been restored, and it actually just opened on July 1st. So if you're someone that has been to Gettysburg before, but is planning on coming in the future, that might be a new stop that you want to check out. They've restored it very beautifully. It's a great old train station, and it's kind of neat to see what it looked like at the time that Lincoln came in. And they've got some great models inside where you can actually see the train station and the different phases of its history. And it, you know, was a working train station for over 100 years, so a very important part of the Gettysburg community. So that was day 3 and 4 here at Gettysburg. This morning, it's a beautiful morning. Had a little bit of rain last night, but this morning the sun is out. We're going to get ready to eat breakfast and then go out for a battlefield tour, which I hope to get some audio from and some description of later today. But just a beautiful campus. We have been invaded by a cheerleading camp and a lacrosse camp. We've kind of had the campus to ourselves the early part of the week, and then suddenly yesterday thousands and thousands of people showed up to play lacrosse. I think they're having either a camp or a tournament. So the campus is very much alive, and there's many, many people here now. And of course, the town is getting ready for the reenactment that's going to take place this weekend. And they're expecting, of course, thousands of reenactors to go through the battle and things like that. So that's day 3 and 4. And I hope to have a report for you on day 5 out at the battlefield, and a couple tours around town a little bit later. So thanks for listening to Speaking of History. If you have any comments, you can email me at speakingofhistory@gmail.com, or as always, you can just leave a comment on the blog, and the blog is available at speakingofhistory.blogspot. All right, we'll talk again soon. Thanks. Bye.
The Speaking of History podcast is produced by Eric Langhorst in Liberty, Missouri, under a Creative Commons license. Visit the website for show notes and links to material in the podcast at www.speakingofhistory.blogspot.com. The podcast is also available on iTunes. Please email all comments and questions to speakingofhistory@gmail.com. Background music for the intro is Z from James Underberg from PodSafe Audio. Thanks for listening.